Just remain standing, if you will, and turn, if you will, to John chapter number 12 is where we're going to take our text mainly from today. John chapter number 12, as you know, we've been reading the last three Sundays, counting today as the third Sunday, we've been reading these three accounts of Mary at the feet of Jesus. And we start in Luke chapter 10, and so if you will, hold your place in John 12, turn back to Luke chapter 10, and that'll help you get where we're going. And I've been preaching on Mary at the feet of Jesus, the different, stages, steps, as we see Mary at the feet of Jesus, and trying to apply that in our own life as well. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38 is where we start our reading at. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Turn, if you will, to John chapter number 11. John 11, and we're headed towards John 12. John 11, verse number 32. "And when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him." Now we're going to John chapter 12. In Luke 10, we saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'd say waiting at the feet of Jesus to hear him speak. Here in John 11, we see Mary weeping at the feet of Jesus in order to have his tenderness or sympathy. That's the S word, in order to have his sympathy. Now in John chapter 12, it's not a time of weeping. It's not a time of waiting. It's a time of worship. In John chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was," and you ought to underline these words, "which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." I can't ever read that phrase. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Brother Joel Hite preached a message years ago, and he titled it, "Look at who's sitting at the table." Woo, amen. That blesses my heart every time I think about it. Verse number 3, "Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes.
Our hearts need to be glad today that the fact that we're here and able to worship and sing the hymns of faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in our place, shedding your precious blood that we might be cleansed and saved.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that today also for this occasion in my personal life,
Yes, Lord.
You're together with the Lord when you compare that with eternity. It's just a speck in time.
Yes.
I pray that you'll bless the preacher today as he preaches. Yes. Turn hearts and sin to God. And bless and help and strengthen the church. Help poor people. And we pray for Miss Debbie and the family.
Yes, Lord.
Help them in the Lord. Give them divine grace and help that they need. And bless them. We'll thank you, Lord, for what's done to the souls that are saved. And God, you tell them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, as we said, we see Mary these three times, and I don't think these are the only occasions, and I'll say more about that later, that we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. We see her there in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, as a student in the place of education. Thank you, brother. We see Mary there in Luke 10:39 as a student in the place of education. Then in John chapter 11 in verse number 32, she is sobbing in the place of consolation. She's needing to be consoled and helped by the Lord. Now in John chapter 12 verse number 3, we find her as a saint in the place of adoration. She is adoring her Lord and her Savior. Amen. I've said this each time as we began to look at this, that Mary had an undeniable love for the Lord. You can't deny that. The Bible talks about the Lord loved her. The Lord loved Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. He loved them. But they loved him too. Amen. And it is very clearly seen by the actions and the attitude that she expressed on these occasions. Amen. And I want to, in 2017, I want to express my love for the Lord more than I ever have. Amen. I want to exhibit my love for my Lord more than I ever have. Not just for His sake. I do want Him to know that I love Him, but for others' sake as well. Amen. And we say a lot about that. We talked about Brother and Sister Hall, their 50th anniversary. That He wants her to know, she wants Him to know, but it happens that everybody else knows. Amen. That's the way it ought to be in our thing with the Lord. Amen. Amen. That people see it, they say, for example, people that have passed by Brother Moody and see the family and see him laying there, his body that's there, but he's gone to glory now. But people that know him know the testimony that he left behind. Amen. They know that he had a testimony that he loved the Lord and he lived it throughout his life. Amen. And that ought to be, we ought to exhibit that more and more in these days that we're living. And so we can learn some things, I believe, from the life of Mary and from the actions that she took here and is displayed here in the things that she did. Now, as I said, we saw her waiting, weeping, and now we'll look at her worshiping, waiting at the feet of Jesus to hear Him speak. In the book of Luke, and then weeping at the feet of Jesus to have His sympathy in John 11, and now John 12, worshiping at the feet of Jesus to honor her Savior. Amen. And He deserves this honor. I want to read these three verses again and then get into my message. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What Mary did was a personal act, but it was a very public act as well. And in her personal love for the Lord and her personal adoration of Him, it became more and more public, more and more pungent, more and more powerful as that odor, the Bible said, filled the house. Amen. It'd be a blessing if we just worship the Lord in such a way, and I pray that it might even happen this morning, that the odor of that ointment, that the sweet smell, the fragrance of the sacrifice unto God, that is a sweet smell to Him, might even fill and permeate the house of God on this day. Amen. Now, I thought about this occasion of Mary's attitude and her actions. As I said, we've seen it before. Matter of fact, look at John chapter 11
And let me see if I can find it. Right, yeah, verse number, we'll look at verse 1, John 11, verse 1, and then verse 2 is where I want you to notice. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany and the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, in parentheses, he's going to tell you who this family is. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Here's, I want you to notice, John 11 is telling us this is who that Mary is. This is the Mary that anointed his feet, that wiped his feet with hair, with her hair, that worshiped him in such a way. That's in John 11, but it hadn't happened. It didn't happen until John 12, unless it had happened before. And I personally believe Lazarus shows up to eat at the table. That's Lazarus' job. Martha's serving. That's Martha's normal duty. Mary is worshiping because that's what Mary does. Amen. She's just a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ because she has such a love in her heart for her Lord. Amen. Now, there's three things I want to point out to you this morning and then get out of the way that I believe helped Mary to worship. And this is in her attitude. First of all, number one, when Mary thought of her brother, she worshiped her Lord. When she thought of her brother, the Bible says here in John chapter number 11 that Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick not just, I don't know how long, but he died. They called for our Lord, and our Lord didn't come when they wanted him to come. Matter of fact, Martha said, and Mary said, Lord, if you'd have just got here on time, if I could paraphrase it that way, things wouldn't have turned out like they did. Lord, why did you allow this to happen? That's their heart crying out unto God. But they're saying, Lord, we're concerned. We were concerned about our brother. And now it's too late. But the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. And now in John chapter 12, they made a supper. And it said they made a supper for him. You see that verse number 2? There they made him a supper. Some think this was a supper for Lazarus. I personally believe that it was a supper for him, the Lord. The Lord's the honored guest at the table. Amen. And the Bible says they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Again, would you look at who's sitting at that table? When Mary comes to the table, she sees the Lord, but she also sees her brother, the one she's prayed for, the one she wept over, the one she'd given up on. But now he's sitting at the table, praise God, able to eat and take nourishment. Why? Because of the goodness of God. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you ought to be able to look at the person sitting next to you in the house of God and say, it ain't nothing but the grace of God that they're sitting beside of me at the table of the Lord. Amen. It's nothing but the goodness of God. It's an answer to prayer. Amen. It is, God saw my tears. God heard my cries. But it's the goodness of God that they're sitting at the table with us. Amen. In the house of God. And so when she saw her brother, when she thought of her brother, she worshiped her Lord. Amen. Now, sometimes we'll have guessing. We'll make much of guessing. We should, by the way. But they're not the one that gets the honor of the house of God. I'm glad they're here, but he's the one that gets the honor and the glory. Amen. And Mary knew that, and no doubt about that. So she saw her brother, and it directed her worship not to her brother, but to her Lord. Amen. And she worshiped him and glorified him. Mary knew what a marvelous miracle it was that Lazarus could be sitting at that table. And so she bowed and gave worship unto the Lord for that miracle. Amen. And I said, you know people, I'm sure you do, that are in, maybe they're not in this house of God. Maybe they're in another house of God today. And you know it's only the goodness of God that brought them there. Amen. You want to know how they act in heaven? Let me read you some scriptures. You don't have to turn, but in the book of Revelation, it shows us some things about how they act in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, and the four beasts said, Amen. So they say amen in heaven. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. They fall down at the feet of Jesus just like Mary did. They fall down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Amen. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God. Revelation chapter number 19, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with saying amen, and there's nothing wrong with saying hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all his, ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Amen. They're exalting him and they're praising him because he's on the throne. Amen. They're falling down at his feet and they're worshiping him. Now here's where I'm going. Mary sees them at the table. She's excited that her brother's at the table, but he ain't the only one. There's a reason why that table's there. There's a reason why that meal's there. And it's not because of Lazarus, but it's because of Jesus. So when she saw her brother and she thought about her brother, it pointed her to the Savior and caused her to worship him who sits on the throne. Amen. He's in that exalted place that ought to be worshipped. When we look around the table, I'm talking about the table of the Lord's house, we see our loved ones, it ought to cause us to give glory to our Lord. Amen. Honor our Lord. Amen. Perhaps, now this is my thoughts of my own, I wonder, she's thinking about the resurrection of her brother. She's thinking about the resurrection of her loved one. I mean, just a few days ago, he is laying in the grave. He was stinking. Brother Hall said he wanted to preach a message on when Jesus raised the stink. Amen. He just told me that the other day. Amen. But when Mary's here, Lazarus is here, she's maybe thinking back about the fact just a few days ago he was in the grave. Listen, it ain't been that long ago. Some of us was in the gutter. Wasn't that long ago. We was in the deeps of sin and trashed. I mean, our life was wrecked and ruined. But thank God for the resurrecting power of the Son of God. Amen. That can save us and stand us upright. Amen. And put us in the house of God and let us worship a living Savior. Amen. Amen. But I wonder if her mind didn't leap from going backwards thinking about the resurrection of her loved one to thinking about the resurrection of her Lord. That special day that's going to come. You say, well, it hadn't happened yet. No, but she had heard about it. The other disciples had heard about it. Our Lord had told them when he told them about Calvary. He told them that they're going to destroy this temple. But in 3 days, I'll build it up again. Amen. And so she had heard those things, and I just wonder, and that leads me to my next point. But before I go there, let's look in John chapter 12. I read through the first three verses. Let's read on a little bit. Look at verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. Now, whenever you hear that man's name, I mean, there's a dark blot on that man's name. You know he's not up to any good. Amen. He's the treasurer, the disciple's treasurer. He's the man with the devil in his heart. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. This is what he said. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? In another place he said, why this waste? Amen. He's upset because this woman's wasting expensive ointment on the Lord. Verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, I like this, Jesus stood up for her. Amen. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Now, look at this next phrase. Against the day of my burying. Hath she kept this? Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Now, Mary, when she thought of her brother, it caused her to worship her Lord. Let me say number two. When she thought of his burial, it caused her to worship her Lord. Amen. Christ said that Mary had anointed him for his burial. You remember he died on that day before that big Sabbath, and then of course 3 days later, and they go to the grave on the first day of the week. Now that doesn't mean that there's more than one Saturday in a week, but there's high holy days that they call Sabbaths, as well as the seventh day that they call a Sabbath. And so you've got the Passover, you've got those that fall in that place. And so our Lord didn't die on a Friday. Amen. It wasn't because Friday, if they buried him Friday night, you don't have 3 days and three nights and he can get up on Sunday morning. But our Lord died in the perfect time, in the fullness of time, amen. In the perfect time our Lord died. But he got up on that third day, he got up on that resurrection morning we call Sunday morning, hallelujah. Amen. He got up. But you remember those women went to the grave? You remember why they went there? They went there to anoint his body. They went there to why hadn't they already anointed? Because it was holy days. Because they took him down off of the cross. They wrapped him up and they put him in that borrowed tomb. And they did all that. And they were going to come later and anoint his body. But when they got there, they're too late. Amen. His body's gone. Exactly. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. So they get there 3 days later, and they can't anoint his body. But here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said, she's already anointed my body. You know what she did? She anointed him by faith. She anointed him by faith, not knowing and maybe not realizing she wasn't going to get anointed later. Amen. So she anointed him by faith, and she's worshiping him by faith. Amen. Amen. So when she thought of her brother, it caused her to worship her Lord. And when she thought of his burial, it caused her to worship her Lord. Now here's what I thought. She's not just thinking about the death, which is for our justification. But she's thinking about his burial, which entails his resurrection, that talks about our sanctification. Amen. Our justification. Jesus died for our sins, but his getting up from the grave proved our justification. Amen. And Mary saw that, I believe, somehow. By faith. Amen. Amen. So when she thought of her brother, it caused her to worship her Lord. When she thought of his burial, it caused her to worship her Lord. And number three, last of all, when she thought of her burden, it caused her to worship her Lord. Look back at Luke chapter 7. I told you that it had happened before. Yeah, I believe it happened in Luke 7 the first time. Luke 10, she's at his feet listening, waiting to hear his word. John 11, she's at his feet weeping, needing to have his consolation, his sympathy. John 12, she's worshiping. But Luke 7 tells us of an account. Now, it doesn't tell a woman's name, but I believe you can see Mary written all over it. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 36... I want to read a number of verses. Let me just read. The Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city," and underline this phrase, "which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." Now that sounds just exactly like what Mary's doing. Read on verse 39. "Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.'" I'm going to say something right there. That Pharisee wasn't no prophet, but he knew she is a sinner. It didn't take a prophet to see this woman was a sinner. Probably everybody in town knew she was a sinner. Probably everybody in that whole region knew she was a sinner. All right, look at verse 40. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Here's our words, Lord. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, and underline it, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. Mary was a sinner. Now, here's what I believe about the fact of her being a sinner. I believe she is burdened about her sin. I believe she is ashamed of her sin. She didn't boast. That's a problem we've got in our world today. People boast of their sin. Amen. They're proud of how they're living in sin. This woman was ashamed of it. She didn't boast of it. Matter of fact, I believe she blushed at the fact that she is a sinner. She knew she didn't have any right or reason even to enter in Simon's house, let alone the Lord. And so she approached him from behind. But she knew he was a wonderful Lord. I don't know if she had any inclination that he might save her. I don't know if she had any inclination that he might forgive her of her sins. But her burden was so heavy that something just drew her to the feet of the Savior. Amen. And when she found herself at the feet of the Savior, she heard those wonderful words. Woman, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. Now jump with me to John 12. She's sitting at the table and she's looking at who's sitting at the table. And when she sees her brother, she falls at the Lord's feet and worships the Lord for what he's done for her brother. But when she sees the Lord and she thinks of his burial, the fact he's going to get up from the grave, he's not only going to die for men's sins, he's got the power not only to lay it down, he's got the power to take it up again, praise God. Amen. And she sees that and knows that, and it causes her to fall at his feet. But when she remembers her burden, remembers that load of guilt and that load of sin that was on her back, and she remembers it's this same Lord, amen, that called her out of the graveyard of sin, that called her out of the tomb of darkness of sin, amen, and said, Loose her, praise God, and let her go, amen. It caused her to fall at his feet and worship him. Amen. Amen. This woman was a sinner. She acknowledged she was a sinner. She didn't rebuke him at any of those statements. She took her place. Our Lord said this. He not only said she's a sinner, and Simon alluded to it. When he said, he thought she's such a sinner that if this man was any kind of a prophet, he would have known that and he wouldn't have let her touch him. When Jesus spoke about her sins, you know what he said? He said, this woman her sins are many. He didn't minimize the fact of her sin, but he knew he is master enough. Amen. He could handle the plenty or the little. Amen. He could handle the big or the small. Thank God. If they owed 50 or if they owed 500, he's able to frankly forgive them both. Wow. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you, when I think about the burden of sin, where I was on that fifth Sunday in June when God spoke to my heart in that little Sunday school class. Amen. And God got the burden in me about my sin. Thank God Jesus came to deliver me from my sin. Amen. Amen. He didn't just drive me down. He delivered me. He drew me in, thank God, and delivered me from my sins. Amen. Amen. I'll say this. Jesus deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. Amen. And when we think about these things, you know somebody the Lord's touched? Have you ever been touched? Ought to cause you to worship Him. I can't help but think what Charles Wesley wrote the song, and it said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Woo! Amen. The glories of my God and King. I mean, Charles Wesley was a singer. Charles Wesley had ability to write songs. But he said, I wish I had a thousand tongues. I wish I could praise Him more and more and more and more. Amen. I'm telling you, when Mary thought of the Lord, it caused her to worship at His feet. Thank you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your mercy and for Your love to me. Oh, Lord, I want to thank You for the prayers You've answered in the past. And I can look around and I can see people that we've prayed for sitting in the house of God. I can think of them sitting in the house of God in North Carolina. I can think of them sitting in the house of God in different places. And some of them now around the throne just because You heard an answered prayer. You saw a burdened heart and You heard and answered those prayers and saved dead, stinking, rotting sinners out of that case. Lord, I thank You that You got up from the grave. And I want to thank You that You bore my burdens and You took them all away. Lord, help me. Help me, dear God, to pour out my ointment unto You. Whether it be a shout, an audible shout, whether it be tears, whether it just be a life of service given unto You. Oh, Lord, You've done so much. You've done so much. We owe You so much glory. Lord, please receive our praise. Help us, dear God, to give it as we should. Lord, help those that are unsaved that today they might see such a wonderful Savior, that they might find themselves as this woman did at the feet of Jesus and hear those wonderful words, "Thy sins are forgiven." Lord, have Your way, we pray in this invitation, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, and while we sing, if you need to come, some's in the altar. If you need to join them, you obey the Lord. Do what He says do. Page 41. Is that right? 41. While we sing, you obey the Lord and do what He says.